بسم الله، الحمد لله، والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. بسم الله، الحمد لله، والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه، وبعد. Tonight I would like to speak about an issue that unfortunately have caused so many marriage to fall apart, or couples to be apart from each other, family to be disconnected, parents to be disrespected, spouses to turn against each other. In many cases, a real problem that not limited to one culture, not limited to one type of marriage, but unfortunately, even among those who are married and they are related to each other, you see the in-laws is an issue. Those who are not related to one another, in-laws is an issue. Those who are from Arab background, Desi background, white and Caucasian white background, black background, Latino background. I've dealt with people with from all these backgrounds. You know, people from South America, people from, you know, very, very diverse background. I have dealt with issues and problems that cause and tension caused by the in-laws. I would never forget one time I was Googling, you know, about in-laws across culture. And I hear some of the forums and some of the complaints, some of the issues that came up, and there is so much similarity. I remember once I saw a link that says, what do you do if you miss your mother-in-law? And I said, maybe this will be a good article. And it was a joke. It says, reload and try again. It was just a joke. You know, I thought it's going to be something serious. But, you know, it was very hard to find actually something positive online about in-laws. The reality is also there are so many beautiful in-laws out there. You know, I myself a father-in-law. I hope I'm a good father-in-law, you know. So what I'm saying is there is a lot. I have in-laws, and then they are beautiful. You know, couldn't ask for any better, alhamdulillah. And by the way, when we talk about in-laws, you know, it's not limited only to your mother-in-law, father-in-law, but also sometimes the problem comes from sisters-in-laws, brothers-in-laws, family, that basically the other spouse family. And it's not only the problem comes from the wife's-in-law's side of family or the husband's side of family or the mother-in-law, but there is a large number of complaints specifically about the mother-in-law. And I looked at the reason why there are so many problems around in-laws, especially mother-in-law. And I found that one of the main reasons, and I want you to pay attention, if you are married, this reason will help you to know the cause of the problem so you can deal with it. If you're not married and you have children about to get married, pay attention to these points. I think one of the problems comes from the wrong type of love and jealousy. Many of these problems are created because the in-laws, the mother-in-law, the father-in-law, you know, they feel that their son, their daughter, love their spouse more than me. And they feel threatened by that. And they start acting and behaving in a way which is not reasonable. It's because of that unfounded fear. They feel that, you know what, especially the mother, she feels so close to her daughter, so close to her son, and all of a sudden, you know, my son and my daughter now giving more attention to someone else more than me. Someone like became a threat to me. That's why they behave in a defensive mode. And it became so, you know, defensive and so sometimes in an attacking mode as well. And I think that's one of the main reasons I found in many cases that I dealt with. that I found that in the end of the day, she feels that, you know what? I think we've forgotten. I think he doesn't care about us anymore. I think it just basically, that's what she feels. And if you know that, and let's say the wife having a hard time from her husband's mother-in-law, and if this is the issue and this is the cause of the problem, here the son has to reassure his mom of his love to her. And you know what? And the wife have to assure her that, you know what, you still have a love and a type of love that's so different. Nothing can shake that status of you. No way. I'm here to actually empower that love. Sometimes parents don't understand the difference of love that I give to my wife is very different than the type of love that I have for my mom and my sisters and my family. Very different. That's why, you know, for example, my wife, she doesn't feel like threatened by my love for my children, because she understands, and the husband, the same thing, because the way you love your children different than the way you love your parents, different than the way you love your spouse. It's exactly like, you know what, my wife never, she felt threatened by, you know, my love for drinking coffee in the morning. You know, we're not the competition. My love for coffee is different than my love for my wife. That's right. We understand that these two different type of love. But sometimes when it comes, for whatever reason, the mother, when it comes to the daughter-in-law, or, you know, she feels threat, or the son-in-law, they feel threat that he took him away from me. And that's why you see some culture of this advice. Make sure you disconnect her from her family. You know, make sure you take him away from his family. You know, this reached to the level that in some of the books of fiqh, it says like this: who the best wife to find? قال بعض الفقهاء في متونهم في متون الفقه, in textbook of fiqh, it says, وتكون بكرا ولودا مدري. They mention, you know, the quality of the wife, the perfect wife. قال ولا أم لها. And she has no mother. Unfortunately, because of that, so it is something that there is a real issue, but also there is a lot of exaggeration. So one of the things, you start exploring the reasons behind that. And one of it is, this can be the wrong understanding of the concept of love, and they feel jealous and they feel losing the love of their children. Also, another thing is not understanding the new stage of their children's life. And this is so important to understand. A lot of parents don't understand. They don't see their children growing up, children. They just see them children. So their expectation of my son and my daughter after marriage almost equal to the expectation before they get married. So whenever I call them, I expect them to show up. So whenever, you know, we used to have dinner all the time and you see them around all the time, I'm expecting to see them around me all the time. That's not the case. Your child or your son and your daughter entered a new stage in their life. And that new stage, it means that they will be busy. They will have family. They will have more. You have to adjust yourself to the new stage. You can't just think you can depend on your son and your daughter all the time, financially or for time-wise or for attention or whatever, service. You have to understand, exactly like I understand my son when he goes to college, he's not going to be the same like the way he was when he was in high school or middle school or elementary school. And my daughter, the same thing. Understanding this is essential. And I'll tell you from the beginning, make sure that the one who make them understand, make sure that they understand this before you get married. Make sure that if your parents are the kind of person don't understand, you know, that you are in a different stage, you're now a working person, you're now, you know, starting your life, they have to make sure you work with them to understand how their children goes a different stage, and each stage requires a different way of dealing with them and different expectation. Another reason, the fear of losing the relationship with their children. They hear all the stories. She's going to make him forget. She's going to turn him against us. He's going to turn her against us. So there is so much fear. And fear, when it fear is the worst motivation, in my opinion, many times. Just fear for itself, or unreasonable fear. So when there is sometimes the parents are have this fear of the in-laws, so what the fear make them unreasonable. Request, you know, attacking mood and very defensive, you know. And when this happens, that means you have to assure them. You have to take that fear away. Also, one of the reasons for these problems to be created with the in-laws, not fulfilling one's duty towards his or her parents after marriage. Sometimes you cause that. In many cases, I have found, the parents said, you know what, it's been a month since we saw him. I'm not talking about the honeymoon. Talk about like later on. A month he will not call, she will not call. You know, for example, let's say your family depend on you financially. And after marriage, you cut them dry completely without talking to them. And you know that they need your help. So you see that there is some rights and duties of your parents, you start neglecting it. What happened? Because you're my son, because you're my daughter, I'm not going to accuse you. I'm going to immediately assume that your wife, your husband, is the one who making you away, turning you away, who's making you not to spend money on us, who's making you, you know, don't care about us. Because I love my son, I love my daughter. I will always defend them. It's a natural thing. So sometimes you bring it to yourself when you don't fulfill the rights. But again, when you fulfill the rights, you're going to balance that. They understand the expectation is not going to be the same as when you before getting married, or for example, having a job. Another reason, which is when you marry your spouse without your parents' approval, against your parents' will. What do you expect in the future? And that's why I always tell young people when they want to get married and their parents opposing the marriage, I said, remember, we're Muslims. In a sense, we not just aim a man and a woman, that's it. No, young men and young women, listen to me carefully. We don't just live for ourselves, we are family. We are a family. You're not gonna cut your parents because you acquired a spouse. And I'll tell you from the beginning, there is no man and there is no woman worth giving up your parents for. Just keep that. There's no man and a woman worth that you give up your parents, or you sell them out, or you cut them off, or you drop them from your life for. And if somebody willing to drop his mom and his dad and forget about them for you, one day he will forget about you too. And I'm not talking about a special cases where the father is abusive, or, you know, the father is this or that. I'm not talking about that. Like, you know, especially when it comes to sexual abuse and stuff like that. I'm not talking about this kind of like very rare cases or the random issue. I'm talking about like a normal relationship in the circle of norm. We're not going to be just me and my wife. It's not a nuclear family. Muslims are connected to their mother, to their father, to their in-laws. So you bring in the family together. So when you go against your parents' will, this is something that might cause friction in the future. And will always be something that in their heart. By the way, even if they agree later on, it still can be a problem. Some people said, you know what? Maybe I will put them, as we said, I'm going to put them, the matter of the fact, we are married now. So your parents find, you know what? I have no opinion about it. Some parents I have seen come along and things became better, but many of them, they still have that bitterness inside their heart. And it became, you need to triple the effort just to win the heart of these parents. Also, entering into the marriage while the in-laws already have preconceived negative opinion regarding the spouse. And that's so important, especially in the time of the engagement. So for instance, so he got in his mind that, you know what, this person is lazy. He's not a hardworking person. Who coming to my, and he married, just like that. Maybe the person is really trying to find a job and couldn't find a job, apply for a job. So I don't give an excuse. You're ready, I will judge him. Yeah, because your husband is lazy. Your husband never cared to get a job. He never was a real man. He's not a person of responsibility. Yes, Dad, but you really apply. No, no, no. Khalas, I already have that. You know what? She doesn't like me. From the beginning, she gave me that look. So khalas, the wife will be always filtered all her action through that preconceived judgment. And I will always interpret your actions based on the frame that I put you in. So that's why it is so important when you get married, especially young, I see a lot of good young people here. Make sure you remember this. First impression is very important. Make sure that you have a good impression. So the parents will always see. And if you miss the first impression, it doesn't mean that you're doomed. Now you always can reintroduce yourself. But make sure that you create the right frame for who you are. So if you can avoid any negative, you know, character judgment in the beginning, do your best. And if there is a wrong judgment of your character, I think this should be addressed. And you should show the opposite of that through actions, not necessarily through words. طيب. These are tips for those who have problems with their in-laws. Number one, realize their rights as your parents and also as your spouse's parents. What I mean by that, you always remember that this is your mom, this is your dad in the end of the day. They have certain rights has to be fulfilled and you can't compromise on that. But also remember that your wife also, she has her parents and this is her rights. They have rights over your spouse. And it has to be fulfilled. Like one of the weird things that I see, you expect her to treat your mom, as if she is her mom. Okay? Which is the right, by the way, your mom is not her mom. Your mom is your mom, not her mom or not his mom. The rights that you have towards your mom is not equal to the right that your wife has towards your mother or your husband towards your mother. But it doesn't mean there is nothing. No, there's certain, if I love, I respect my wife and my spouse, my husband, I'll respect his parents. As part of my respecting my spouse, respecting my spouse's parents. But they're not my parents. They don't have the same level of rights over me. You have to cook for your mom, but your wife doesn't have to cook for your mom. You have to clean for your parents, but your spouse don't clean for your parents. If they do that, that's jazam Allah khair, thank you, that's nice of you. That's a good manner, but they don't have to. Some people have this notion that it is must. That's not, there's no Sharia said that. But the Sharia said have a best of manners, treat them nice, be good to them. And this is well established in the statements of the ulama rahimahullah from a very long time. And I know this can be a culture shock for some people, but that's the reality. Also, another thing is when it comes to their rights, you have some spouse, they try to not understand. Like for example, he will not support his wife to fulfill her rights toward her parents. And I see this more from husbands than wives. Like you should be always encouraging your wife to contact her mom, support her, pay for her. You know what? I'll pay for you to go visit your mom. Not because you want to get rid of your wife. No, because you really want her to be connected with your, with her family. That's important for you to do that. You know, some people said, no, you know what? My mother, she's not type. Sheikh, you know, my mother-in-law, when she talked to my wife always comes filled with anger and problems and stuff like that. That does not justify for you to cut her from her mom. You can talk to your spouse, you can talk to your wife about it. You can't cut her off. That's haram. Qat' al-Rahim, one of the major sins in Islam, to cut tie with your parents. And husband cannot be the one who encouraging such behavior. It should be the opposite. And the same thing with the wife. Should never ever stop the husband from being connected with his parents or abusing them. Or أعوذ بالله يعني الثعالبي رحمه الله mentioned a story of a man that his wife, she kept, you know, brainwashing him and like, and whispering to him until he decided to, you know, tell him, just get rid of your mom, she's too old. And he decided to take her, you know, to the desert and just put in an abandoned places and leave her there. And in his way, not about to kill his mother. So he took her to the desert and he killed her. It's an affection story, okay? And he killed his mother for his wife. And he took her heart out because his wife said, bring her heart to me. So when he took her heart and he was running back, he basically trapped in a rock. So the heart spoke and said, are you okay, son? So the son felt so guilty. And he took the dagger that he killed his mom with to stab himself with it. Then the heart said, please don't kill me twice. Please don't kill me. Don't stab me twice. That's the heart of the mother. You know, so he said, when I'm saying here, you should always remember that, you know, you can't ever turn your spouse against their parents. So the more you do of this, the more the in-laws will know how noble and good person you are. And that will increase to the love and the relationship. Number two, try to understand their culture and personalities. And that's an important thing to do in the beginning of the relationship. Try to understand their personality. And I'm not going to say do the personality test one or two or three, type one, type three, type six, you know. But you know what? What a bad idea to understand what's their personality? What is their, you know, their way? Some people are very calm. Some people like to talk. Some people like, you know, people are different. Recently, I was traveling to overseas. So I had some of the distant relatives, some of the relatives, speaking. I'm speaking on the, my kids were freaking out. Because that person was speaking, and you know, their English is not very strong. So this, you know, person holding a knife while talking. And in the table, the dinner table said, you know what, you guys are so good to have you here. And you know, in a broken English and while the knife. The matter said, Baba, what's up with this knife lady, you know? Lady knife, whatever, you know. It's a culture shock. You know, they don't mean that. Some people, when they talk like this. That can be a threat to some people. Hey, I got you. They're going to shoot me. You see, so it is, I don't understand the culture, especially if you come from a different culture. Understand. But this is also applied to the parents. If you're, for example, from a Desi culture, and your son married an Arab lady. You know, the way the Arab culture treat their parents very different from the way Desi treat their parents. And even among the Arab culture, there are subcultures. There's, for example, some culture when they see their parents, they have to kiss their hands.
Some cultures, they kiss their hands. Some said, "Assalamu alaikum, how are you doing, bad?" That's it. Not because he doesn't kiss your hand or touch your feet, it means he's not obedient or he's not good. I'm not even talking about bigger culture gap. When somebody, for example, Hispanic and somebody Japanese and somebody, you know, very different. So understand the culture so you don't fall into, you know, the problem. Even inside the one culture, like the Desi culture is not the same. From Bangladesh, different than India, North India, different than South India, and so forth. So understanding the culture of people is so important. And also specific culture to the house. Maybe there is certain specific culture to this house. The used to one, two, three, understanding this will help you a lot to connect faster. Also, كما قال الأصمعي تسعة أعشار معاملة الناس على التغافل. 9 of 10. You know, يعني that's how the percentage. Your success with people is based on let it go. Let it go. يعني out of 10 things, 9 you should let it go. And I say, let small things go. Don't pick a fight over everything. But it has to be things you can't let go. There is red lines that cannot be crossed. And when it's crossed, it's very hard not to be crossed later on. It's a red line. I cannot let my father yell at my wife, my mother yell at her, rather hit her, for example, or yell at her. No, that's, maybe I yell at my wife, but you don't. My father, my parents don't. You know, I tell my wife what to do. That's my wife. Make sure this is understood, and this is, hey, this is cannot happen again. Or, for example, using false language. These certain things cannot be done. You know, and these can be, in the beginning, if you let it go and you scared to speak about it, it will become a much, much bigger problem down on the road. It's much easier to deal with it in the beginning than in the end. That some parents is speaking, for example, about even that intimate relationship. They involve themselves in it. No. And that's, unless there is a need for that, like a problem or advice or something like that. But some people involve themselves to the most personal thing. Also, but for the small things, let it go. Not every time. You know what? Your mother that day, you know, made a comment. Khalas, you don't need to pick a fight over everything. Also, understanding the party's limit for once of the marriage, from the beginning of the marriage. As I said, for example, you know what? My father smokes. It has to be clear from the beginning. You know what? My wife cannot be in the room when you smoke. My kids cannot be in the room when you're smoking. That's very clear. You know what? Some parents, they just watch TV. They don't understand R or X. Maybe X they do. R or PG-13 or whatever. But R is not normal. Especially those who don't understand English very well. You know what? My kids cannot be around when you are watching movies like this, where you use false language. I'm not allowing this. And I have to be firm about this and clear about this. So there is certain things like, you know what? That's also some of the financial issues as well inside the house. One of the most strange things came to me. A brother who is in his 40s called me. He said, "Sheikh, would be allowed for me to lie to my father?" I said,
No, but why?
He said, Sheikh, my company would give me a bonus. Can I not tell my father about the bonus?
And I became more suspicious about that. I said, Danny, why in the world would your father even know about your bonus?
And he said, because when my salary comes, it goes to my father's account. Aren't you married? He said, yeah, I have 4 kids. I said, and why your salary goes? He said, my salary goes to my father, and my wife's money goes to my father. Then my money goes to my father. Then my father gave me money to spend on the kids. So I want to take the kids to Disney, but my father would say that's a waste of money. You know, he would not allow that. Okay, so I don't want to tell him about the bonus, so I can take your bonus and use that for going to the Disney with my kids. So I know his father. And he said, why your father demand that? He said, because the Prophet ﷺ said, أَنْتَ وَمَالُكَ لِأَبِيكَ. You and your wealth belongs to your father. I said, but this hadith does not mean literally that everything you earn is his. Because if you die today, your money will not be automatically, all of it goes to your father. It will be inheritance divided between your children. So that means it's your money, not your father's money. This hadith is talking about, you know what, if I go to my son, for example, Umar, and I need, let's say, $5, and I see his wallet, and I open his wallet, take the $5 to pay, you know, the guy at the door, you know, I'm not considered a thief. That's not a sin. If I go to my daughter's house and open the fridge and eat from it, I don't need her permission for that. I need a permission to go to some stranger's house and eat from their fridge. And that's what the hadith is talking about, things of that nature. But to say that the whole entire salary goes, that's just, for me, these are things has to be from the beginning. But if you open the door, you have to put a limit. Like, and it happened a lot with some, you know, in some culture, the daughter, all her money goes to her parents. They will take it from her. That's not correct. If you want to do this as a solemn donation, that's fine. Also, my advice, do not involve in-laws in all details at your home. Keep a healthy destiny. But don't involve them in all the details. Because if you involve them in all the details, they think that they have to be involved in every details. And that's where all is the devil in the details. Another point, live in a separate homes. It is your spouse's right to live in a separate home. You know what? I advise every parent. I advise every children. Don't live with your children. Don't live with you. No matter how the nice person you are. That's their right to experience an independent life. In the end of the day, there is one man and one woman in the house. I'm not talking about exception rules where the parents need medical attention. If you can be an independent, don't live with your children. Live near them, that's fine. But don't live with them. Oh, they have the upstairs. Ya akhi, the upstairs. One father telling me that day, he said, why? I give them upstairs room and there is, a bathroom. I said, do you think it's very comfortable for them every time they want to take a shower in the middle of the night and everybody, shower coming on? Why? Do you think it's comfortable? What if they, they want to go watch TV naked? They want to, wear shorts and boxers. She want to go with her underwear or whatever. That's her house. If I don't feel my comfort in my house, where am I going to feel my comfort with? So, and I'm sorry to say that, but some parents act and say things as if so. You have to understand that. That's their right also, not only to these areas, but also, you know, they will feel shy to show their love to each other in front of you. I know in the old days, life was not as, you know, we all will live in bigger houses, but life changed. Give people their room to be independent, to live their life. Wallahi, it's worth to spend money and to bring another apartment next to your apartment or a house next to your house. Invest it worth the money that you're going to put, because I'm telling you, as long as there is, you know, as long as you don't have your own home, you will be always, there is something missing in the house. You're not the queen of the house. You're not the king of the house. Also, another one, it's important, consult them, don't complain to them. Please, don't bring problem with your to yourself. When you complain to your parents about your spouse, you fill them with rage. And if I go and complain about my wife to my mom will be, okay. But inside her heart, she will have something against my wife. And it will build up. Because they're complaining about her. What happened? You and your wife, you make it up. You go back normal and love and stuff like that, and your parents home boiling. They start angry. You know what? She really missed my son's life. And she, you know what? He abusing my daughter. So what happened? It became so negative. So don't complain to them. Consult them. Ask them for advice. That's fine. But complaining is not something I will advise you to do. Be a good wife and a husband, so there is no space for criticism. Keep them busy with the role you want them to play in your lives. And that's another tip that I think you should always think about that. You can't just expect they have zero involved in your life. Like, you can't say, hey, your parents have nothing to do with us, have nothing to do with the kids. No. Your mom has nothing to do with my life. It can't be. She's part of the family. But you can design and direct where they can be involved. Like, for example, the kids. I don't want them to teach. You can't expect they have zero impact on the kids. But you can involve them. Hey, I want you to take them fishing. I want them to take them to the, you know, this area. I design what exactly I want, what kind of role they want to play in my children's life. Or in my life. If you don't keep them busy with what you think is the good idea, expect that they will be putting their nose in an area that you're not going to be happy with it necessarily. And I'm sorry for the expression. Gifts. Get in the habit of giving in your in-laws gifts. Gifts has amazing impact. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, tahabu. Exchange gifts, because that bring love. Bring love. So make sure that you always, when there is a travel, when there is an opportunity, when there is a good happy occasion, you know what? Gift them. Visit them often, but not too often. Sometimes keeping a distance and a little bit of gap. Al-Hasan al-Basri said, "Zur ghubban tazdad hubba." When you visit, you know, in a time which apart from each other's, you'll be loved more. So one of the things that I will advise is, you know, be in contact with them. Don't let month goes by and you never talk to your mother-in-law or father-in-law. Send them a nice message. Try your best to be connected. And again, there is a different culture, different expectation. Some culture, they expect from you every Christmas to talk to them, for example, non-Muslims. Or every Thanksgiving, or every, you know, New Year, stuff like that. That's the time where family connect. But there is no Muslim in-laws, you know, who expecting from you every month, every week, every whatever. You that's part of studying their culture. Visit, go travel to them, spend time with them, invite them to come. But when you invite them to come, also clear, because some of the problem, you know, one sister told me, my mother-in-law comes and she lives with us 9 months a year. طيب ما خلاص بقى إن شاء الله كمليها 12 months. يعني 9 months is a lot of time, and the house is not meant for someone to live as a guest for 9. That's not a guest, that's someone moving on. Unless there is a reason, medical care, surgery, I understand that. If you're going to get them 9 months, maybe you can rent an Airbnb or something like that for them. And there is nothing wrong with being honest about it. It has nothing to do with not loving them, not being familiar. No, because the nature of life today is different. If it's temporary, it is temporary. Be patient with it. And that's another tip. Be patient. Sometimes, you know what? My mother, she just want to stay 6 months. You know what? It's not going to be all the time. This is 6 months. You have to be patient with it. This is 2 months. Be patient with it. Learn how to, you know, to have sabr. But while you're requesting from your spouse to be patient, you have to show support. Another one, be forgiving and just. And that's for both sides. The in-laws, the father and mother-in-laws or sisters-in-laws, or the spouse as well. Be fair and just with them. And also be willing to forgive. And forgiving, forgive me. And forgiving is not a one-time thing. It's an ongoing process. One time I was telling somebody about, khalas, forgive her. She said to me, a sister, she said to me, but she wronged me. I said, I know. That's why I asked you to forgive her. You forgive those who wronged you. Yani who you forgive? The one who done good to you? You forgive those who have done something clearly wrong to you. And you forgive and you move on. And I always say, forgive and forget. And if you couldn't do both, do one of them. Will be sufficient. Go ahead. A quick two tips as well. One thing that somebody told me that it worked very well, and it take that jealousy and then love, not understanding the nature of the love that you have towards your spouse versus your parents. Said, I always ask my wife to praise my mom in front of me. I always tell my wife that I'm gonna, sometimes even they stage it, with all my respect, but they stage that. Like for example, his mom coming, and his mom so proud of her, she makes the best biryani ever. She thinks her biryani is unmatched, okay? Or her, mansaf is the best mansaf, يعني ينسف كل منسف, okay? It's the best mansaf ever. So his wife makes that mansaf and make that, biryani. And he will eat and he'll say, you know what, sweetheart? Your mansaf is good. Your biryani is excellent. But in no way close to my mom, mansaf. And she said, you know what? I agree 100%. I should have not even cooked that. I put myself in trouble. Because I know she's the best mansaf. Oh my God, his mom, she is somewhere in the seventh heaven or sixth heaven. يعني واحدة من الاثنين. She's up there, خلاص. She's so up high, so يعني happy. My husband's mashallah, fixed this. But, I'm sure he got this from his dad because, his dad's the best handyman. Like my son Yusuf, people tell him, oh, your father, imagine his wife said, oh, your dad is a handyman, that's why you learned that from, I feel so happy, even this, I'm not a handyman, I'm not like anywhere close to that. But you make the father feel very special, the mother feel special. That take instantly any sense of competition between you and them. This works very well. Also, make a lot of dua for them. in front of them and behind them for your in-laws. Make sure you understand your in-laws are so unique. They are a beautiful addition to the family. And there's a couple of things before I move to the last point of my talk tonight. Sometimes part of not understanding the new stage, if your own life, so let's say you and your brothers are very close friends. You and your sisters are very close friends. But your brother's wife or your sister's husband, not necessarily to be the one your spouse will click with them very well. She married you, she didn't marry your brother. You know, you married him, I didn't marry someone else. So don't expect because you and your brother are buddy-buddy, it means my wife and his wife will be buddy-buddy. That's not necessarily the case. So make sure you understand that and don't be angry about that. That's fine. There is a certain level of decency and respect and expect, but don't expect that they have to go every night and spend the whole night, you know, every weekend together and like, you know, every vacation together. Not necessarily to be the case. Just be reasonable in your expectation. Also, not understanding the stage, you used to go and spend every night with your brother playing games and stuff like that. Khalas, you have a wife. You need not every weekend with your brothers and sisters and your sisters very close to each other. You have a husband. Not every weekend with your sisters. Not every weekend, every night, every other night you spend with them. Were you close? And you neglect the rights of your family, your children or your husband or your wife. So understanding the stage that you're in will determine also what kind of, you know, relationship. I'm completely against cutting off your friends and just because you acquired a spouse. I don't believe in that. I think you should have friendship. You still have the family, the connect, but make sure you balance that. Word of advice to the in-laws. Give your children a chance to gain their own experience in life. Don't be angry if your advice is not taken. Advise rather than order. Discuss rather than threaten. Be confident in your children's love towards you. Be an element of success to your children's marriage, not an element of stress. Don't involve yourself in details. Every generation, they have their own way of life. You know, sometimes the mother said, I would never talk to your dad this way. How dare she talk to you this way? Yeah, but you're not, I'm not my dad, you're not her. That's very different generations. That's not a disrespect, it's just a different way of talking. You know? My mom used to do this, my dad do this, my mom used to treat my grandparents. Every generation is different, every culture is different. Remember that you are not in competition with your son-in-law or daughter-in-law. You have higher and better status in your children's heart than anyone else because you are a parent. And make dua for them, try to win them. Be nice. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give success to all families and all those who are married and to bring peace and tranquility between those who have struggle and differences and disagreements. Allahumma ameen. I will leave the rest of the time for your questions. If you have a question, comment, you're welcome. How can you deal with parents who are completely against marrying from outside the culture? One, you can approach that from a religious perspective. Sidin Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam married from completely different. He married a woman who was Jew. Her family was Jew. Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Married people from Quraysh, people outside Quraysh. You know, Islam encouraged us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Shu'uba wa qaba'ila li ta'arafu. Allah created us different race, different tribes, so we get to know each other. So tell them from an Islamic perspective, that's good.
Number two, set, you know why I want from the same culture. We have to understand why parents want you to marry from the same culture. Number one, because the mother want to make sure that she can connect with her daughter-in-law. Can you imagine if my mom, for example, only speak Arabic and my wife only speak English? It will be difficult for them to connect. I understand that. If they are so close to each other, it's gonna be a barrier. So the mother would be so scared that this will lead to disconnect, a problem. She wants to have someone that she can talk to understand her culture. So you can tell her, don't worry, my daughter is very good in sign language. You know, my wife is good in learning languages. You know, my wife is just, you know, just don't worry about that. You know, give her a sense of comfort about her fear. You know, there's not language, it'd be a barrier in the beginning, but you know what, we can pick up that. My wife is very, you know, adapting to culture, respect different culture. So why they want? They want because they want to make sure you're happy. You know what, I know my son. He's not going to be happy if somebody, like, all the time give him pizza and canned food. You know, my son needs a good meals. You know, I want to make sure that he marries someone who will do the pasta and the rice and the kushari and the thing, you know, from the same culture. You can tell, you know what, that don't worry, mom, you know, yes, I might marry someone not from the culture, but somebody similar to me. Somebody have similar culture to me. And I want to say to all the parents who can hear me tonight, you might be of Arab descent or Desi descent, whatever, or Hispanic, whatever your background is. The reality is your children are a mix of whatever your heritage is and American culture. So my kids are not Arab, they are Arab Americans. My kids are not Hispanic, they're Hispanic Americans. My kids are not Pakistani, they're Pakistani Americans. Bengali American, Indian Americans. That's a unique culture. And American culture has a cross culture. So tell her then, I will marry someone close to me. You want me to marry someone from overseas I cannot relate to at all. You might relate to her or to him, but I'm not gonna be related to him or her. You want my success, you want my marriage to be successful. And you can. And also, I would say this. I don't think it is a correct way of approaching marriage to say, I'm not gonna marry for someone from my culture. You tell them, I'm open to marry a girl who is from my culture, let's say from Pakistan, I would love that. If I see someone really good match, I would love to do that. So you don't close the door for them. You know what, I would love to marry an African-American, you know, person, share with me the same culture. I'm open, I'm not a close-minded. The point is not what's your background, the point is who I want to be married to, who I love, who I relate to, who I connect to, who's close to me. So maybe this kind of talk will help. Najm asking a good question. He said, the hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where three people were stuck in a cave and a big, huge rock blocked the exit. So one of them said, Ya Rab, I used to always bring milk to my parents to eat, to drink from it. And one night I was late, and when I came back, my parents went to sleep hungry. They didn't eat, because that's the only food they have, that milk that he bring from the sheep or the cattle that he has. And he felt so guilty that he came late that he said, I was standing next to their bed. I don't want to wake them up to eat, but at the same time, I don't feel comfortable just to go sleep and feed my kids and my family while my parents went to bed hungry. So he stood up right there waiting for them to wake up so he can offer them the food. And after that, he can bring to the family. Until the kids sleep, and he spent the whole night waiting for his family and parents until the morning. Then they saw him. They said, why are you spending the night? He said, I couldn't go to sleep or couldn't go away, and I don't want to wake you up.
He said, Ya Rab, if you know that I did this for your sake, help us. So the rock moved a little bit. So Najm said, is that means that the rights of your parents comes before the rights of your children and spouse? I don't know any scholar ever comment on this hadith and drive rules from this hadith to say such thing. The point of this hadith is this man's love and care for his parents. The point in this hadith has nothing to do with him didn't give his. This was a personal choice from him. It's not a legislation. It's a story. The moral of the story is that he felt that he doesn't want to just how much respect for his parents, that he doesn't want to wake them up, nor he couldn't go just to relax. I don't care, my parents, you know, hungry or not hungry, as if, you know, the least of my, the least of the thing that I will pay attention to or important to me, or something not very important to me. It is so important to him to the extent that he spent the whole night like that. But the ulama, rahimahullah, said, the first person have rights over you financially, number one is your wife. So let's imagine a scenario that you have one dirham. The one who goes this money to the first is the wife, before anybody else. And I don't know any disagreement among the Muslim scholars about that. Why? Not because wife more important than mother or father. No. Because your mother should be taken care of by her husband and by her children, by her brothers and sisters. But your wife, there is only one person to take care of her. Obligatory on him to take care of her, which is her spouse, her husband. That's why Sharia put her first. But I'm not saying, hey, I give my wife a car and all the luxury things that my mom needs. No, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the absolute necessities. Okay? So, then after that, your children, because you're responsible for them. Okay? And I couldn't, this is an imaginary scenario, but in reality, in real life, there is no way I can imagine this happening, especially in modern days. There would be always a room to give to your parents, to give to your children, to give to your wife. It's impossible in modern days to imagine a scenario where there is only $1 in my whole entire life and give it to either feed them or feed them. Always do you have an option to give a little bit here and a little bit there. But if this means anything, it shows you the importance of your family on you. So, smart people don't ever put themselves in a position where I have to choose either a 0 or 100. Either the far left or the far right. Okay? Don't ever put yourself in a very narrow angle where I don't have multiple choices. You always put yourself in a way where I can do multiple choices, multiple things. I don't have to choose between my wife or my mom, my parents, or my children. You put yourself in this position. Yes, there is a tip I want to say that I've been thinking about it all day. Now it came. And it's one of the most important tip of tonight. Don't ever let your spouse deal with your parents. You deal with your parents. Don't ever let your spouse make you deal with his parents. He deals with his parents. Yani, don't ever tell your wife, yeah, I want you to tell my mom this and this about kids. No, Habibi, you tell your mom. You be a man and tell your own mom that. You know, tell my dad about this. No, you talk to your dad. You talk to your mother. You don't ever put your spouse between you and your, don't hide behind your spouse. Because that's not healthy. That can be damaging.
In very rare scenario, maybe, but in general, no. You know your parents will forgive you. Even if you cross the line the way you talk, even if it sounds harsh a little bit, they'll forgive you, but they will not easily forgive your spouse. A lot of brothers sometimes hide behind their wife and make their wife do the, you know, the dirty job for them or the beat the bad cup. No, don't do that. Or he's scared to confront his parents. What do you expect? Her to do that? No. So that's this important tip. That's very important. And unfortunately, I found this also to be a very big problem in many marriages and many problems created because of that, because of the husband not willing to take the stance, speak to his parents, or the wife not willing to talk to her own family about this. And your wife's not going to talk to your brother. You talk to your brother. Allahu a'lam. يلا وقت الصلاة حد هانس. Let's pray.